this week, September 22nd, 2015, on The Digital Story. 5 tips for high school senior portraits. A Pentax full-frame DSLR is just around the corner. Reinvent the wedding. Free Photo Plus Expo Pass from Red River Paper. All this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Well, it is still hotter than hot today here in Northern California. I tell you, this darn heat is going to wear the heck out of me. I'm not going to break down and get air conditioning in the recording studio. I am going to man up on this and maybe just wipe my brow every now and then. Anyway, I do have some hot stories for you this week. We're going to talk a little bit about what Pentax has planned for us. And then we're going to talk about some shooting stuff, shooting senior portraits, high school senior portraits, shooting weddings, all that kind of good stuff. And then I have some other niceties too that I will sweeten the pot with. So let's get to work. The weekly update. Petapixel reports new Pentax full-frame DSLR teaser site says camera coming in spring 2016. Ricoh has put up a new teaser page for its upcoming full-frame Pentax DSLR. Back in February 2015, Ricoh announced that the camera would arrive by the end of the year. It looks like that date got pushed back a bit, as the website now says the debut will happen in spring of 2016. But it sounds like Ricoh has put a stake in the ground on this, and that we will see the first Pentax full-frame DSLR in the spring of 2016. And I'm pretty excited about this, in part because Pentax does a lot of things very well. I think that they lead the pack in weather sealing for DSLRs. Not that they do it so much better than everyone else, but they do it more affordably than everyone else and probably offer more affordable weather-sealed lenses. And then they're very clever in what they do under the hood. And you know you're going to get the high-resolution shot with this new full-frame DSLR. You know you're going to get a lot of the other goodies that we see on the other Pentax DSLRs with this full-framer. And you're going to have a full-frame DSLR. Chances are pretty good it's going to have a Sony sensor in it. So it's kind of the best of both worlds, right? You take a great Sony full-frame sensor, you combine it with these really creative and innovative Pentax electronics, and you probably have a camera that's going to be very enjoyable. Now, what I don't know about is the lens landscape. What lenses will work on the full framer, which ones won't, how many new ones you have to buy, all that kind of stuff. So we'll have to wait until spring or a little before spring before we find that out. But for those of you who enjoy the Pentax brand and are loyal, I think you are going to get a terrific reward here in spring of 2016 with this new DSLR body. In other news, reports state Canon working on new 24-70mm f2.8 image stabilized lens. The Photographer reports Canon's lineup of lenses currently includes both a 24-70mm f4 LIS and a 24-70mm f2.8 LUSM, but no 2.8 version with built-in IS. There were rumors being passed around about this for a while, now due to a patent, but Canon rumors and photo rumors are saying that it's a very strong possibility that we may see one in the near future. With Tamron, Tokina, and Nikon all having their own versions, it just seems to make sense. So it does make sense. It does make, you know, this is something when I was shooting exclusively with Canon and using it for my work, This bugged the heck out of me, not having an image stabilized version of the workhorse lens, the 24-70 f/2.8, arguably the event photographer's workhorse lens. Now, I actually went to the 24-105 f/4 because it did have image stabilization. I wanted that. I need that in event work. And it always annoyed me that this very expensive lens, the 24-70 f/2.8, was not image stabilized. Well, it looks like they're going to fix that. And probably at the same time, they're going to produce glass that is even higher resolution to go with the new cameras that are coming down the line. And all in all, it should be a real beauty if indeed it does come to pass. The thing about it is it's going to be pricey. It's going to be expensive because, again, back to my annoyances, the 24-70 f/2.8, the second version of it was very expensive. It was extremely expensive lens, and it didn't have IS. I'm a little concerned about what the one that is a little higher resolution and does have IS is going to cost. I guess we'll cross that bridge if and when it presents itself to us. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number one, 5 tips for high school senior portraits. Personally, I really like shooting high school senior portraits. I learn stuff from these kids. The ideas that they bring to the photo shoot help me become a better photographer. And in return, I can help capture this important moment in their life. So here are 5 tips to help you get the best shots possible. It is that time of year. In fact, I have a senior portrait assignment this coming Saturday, and I have a few more that are not too far down the road. After that, most of these kids have to get their stuff turned in by the end of the year to the yearbook and so forth. And so now is when we shoot. Now, I do have resources for you. I did an article on the Digital Story that listed a lot of those resources. I have probably one of my favorite lynda.com training titles on shooting high school senior portraits. So that's there. I did an article for Lynda's Article Center that has these 5 tips. But just in case you couldn't get to any of that and you find yourself with an upcoming assignment, portrait assignment, then I'm going to give you those tips right now because that's the kind of guy I am. I care about you. I want you to do well. All right. First one, find the right location. This is a biggie in the modern age because part of the deal of opening up senior portraits so that they don't have to go to a professional studio anymore is that they can have their pictures taken in locations that they like, in locations that resonate with them. Now, they won't always know where they want to have their pictures taken. And this is something that I've discovered over the last few dozen assignments. But often they'll have an idea the kind of shot they want. So talk to them about it. Listen to them. And in fact, the one that I even did for my own son, Zach, he said, I don't know where, but I want a shot with like old bricks because I think that would look really neat. So then what I did was put on my thinking cap and go, oh, I know a good spot. And it was right here in Santa Rosa. And we went there and he loved it. He loved the shots and he thought he did a good job. So I listened to him. I listened to what he wanted. So location becomes very important on these. If they don't have a location in mind already, then help them find one that matches the picture that they have in their head of, you know, how this thing's going to look. Do they want an urban photo? Do they want shoot it out in the countryside? They want a nature photo? Do they have something, you know, very unique to them in mind? Find that out. Spend some time on this. It's not like a wedding where they've already made up their mind where the wedding's going to be and you just have to show up there. This, you are involved in where the picture's going to be taken. Help them find the right spot because, boy, I tell you, if you do, half the work is done right there. Second, insist on wardrobe options. a lot of times they're just thinking they're going to show up in, you know, their favorite jeans and t-shirt and take a few shots and that'll be it. And that's cool. You know, we'll do that. But tell them that you want two other wardrobe options also. And, you know, try to, if you can, get them to give you something that they like, that they feel comfortable in, but is different than what they normally wear or different than their favorite outfit. So, for example, jeans and t-shirts, that's their favorite thing. That's what they'll want to shoot in. You do some of that. But then I'd ask, for example, well, what do you wear when, you know, you go out with the family and you have to wear something a little nicer and your basketball shorts won't work? What do you wear that you like? Or if it's something at school happening and you have to, you know, dress up just a little bit, what do you like that you have in that? And, you know, so you find that out. Okay, bring that too. And then try to get one more wardrobe option out of them. If they don't have a completely different wardrobe option, you can always have them bring like a cool jacket they like, you know, or something like that, that would modify an existing wardrobe option, especially if it jazzes it up just a hair. So kind of push them a little bit here because, you know, generally speaking, they're going to want to bring what they want to bring. A little extra pushing here, gently engaging them in conversation, will give you some more options. And I'll tell you, they almost always are thankful afterwards that you did this. Number three, get your lighting act together, okay? I can't tell you how many portraits I see in the yearbook, and I'm sure none of them were shot by you, okay? So these are other people. But I can't tell you how many pictures I see where they're shooting the portrait against a strong backlight and they're not compensating for it or they're not adding any sort of fill light at all. And the poor student is underexposed and it just doesn't look good. These are portraits that don't get a lot of space on the page. If they're seniors, they get a little bit more, right? They get a little bigger, but it's still basically a glorified thumbnail most of the time. Now, obviously what mom and dad have printed that goes on the wall or whatever, that's going to be a little bit bigger. You're not dealing with a very big shot in the yearbook. And what you shoot has to hang together lighting-wise, or it's just going to look terrible. It's just going to look terrible. So plan on some sort of fill light, whether you're bringing reflectors, whether you're bringing a flash, whatever you like to use, bring it. Now, I bring both. I prefer reflectors. Reflectors are usually, you know, the first thing that I go for when I need fill light because I like the way they look. It's a nice big surface. I love controlling it. I love seeing how it looks in real time. You know, all that stuff. I think reflectors, and, you know, I have the different surfaces too, all that. So I think they're fabulous. Sometimes they don't work, and sometimes I have to use fill flash. I'll use fill flash. No problem. Fill flash is far better. It's 100 times better than not using any fill light at all and having, you know, to deal with this in post if you can even make it look good. So think about your lighting. Have a streamlined lighting kit with you, but think fill light. Think fill light. And of course, you know, one of the favorite portraits that I like doing that I've talked about many times is where I use the sun to highlight the hair. So the sun's probably going to be behind the student or a little bit to one shoulder or the other, where you get a bit of a rim light and then bring in a fill light with that. That looks terrific. And you can do that outside anywhere in their favorite spot. It's really, I mean, you know, the sun is really a great light source, but it usually needs a complement to get the most out of it. Get your lighting act together. Don't be that guy that puts an underexposed portrait in the yearbook because it's just sad. It just makes me feel bad for them. Number four, help them with posing. Some kids are very comfortable in front of the camera. Most are not. Kind of like, you know, everyone else, right? You got to help them a little bit. Help them a little bit. And part of that is your energy. Now, it's probably good to listen to the posing podcast that I did on about a little over a month ago, because I really had a lot of posing tips in there that would be super helpful for this. but I'll review a few now. It all starts with your energy. You've got to have your energy up on this thing. I'll tell you, because otherwise, if you're not up, they're not going to be up, right? Generally speaking, when I'm working with teens, they're not up to begin with. They're just like kind of waiting to see what you're going to do, kind of checking you out, right? So you've got to be up. You've got to be into it. You've got to be engaged. The posing starts with you having some energy, bringing some game to this, okay? Then after that, help them with the simple things. Make sure that their weight is on one foot or the other so they're not flat-footed. Help them with their hands. Remember the tip that I had from the posing podcast where you have them make a fist with their hand. Just have them squeeze it and hold that for a few seconds. Then have them relax it and let the hand unfold. How that hand unfolds, then that is a poseable hand now. That hand can be put, you know, any number of places in the frame and it'll look natural. Keep their fingers, you know, pointing the same direction. Watch out for thumbs that get too crazy. You know, the thumb doesn't have to be pointing exactly the same direction as the other fingers, but you know, you don't want things to get too wild, and you certainly don't want a spread hand. That's, you know, very distracting. You know, help them with their posture. Don't let them slump. You know, say, you know, okay, right before I take the shot now, I want, you know, good spine, good straight spine. It makes a world of difference. And then play with different angles. Play with sitting and standing and leaning. You know, kids, you know, on senior portraits, they can lean. It's all right. If there's a cool wall or a tree or something they like, let them lean up against it and do kind of a cool thing with their hands. Bring some energy to this. Bring some ideas. Help them. Don't just leave them stranded there in front of the cameras. It's not very nice. It's not very fair. And it's really not going to yield very good images. And finally, number five, capture a variety of poses. And I think this is really important. I mean, you definitely need the head and shoulder shot because, you know, that's sort of like, okay, everyone has to have the head and shoulder shot. Even if they don't use it, you need to shoot that. So make sure you get that. And that's one typically where I do use the sun as a hair light and on the shoulders, and then I bring in some fill light. Get a nice head and shoulder shot. And then start playing with some different shots, you know, waist up shots, full length shots, sitting shots, sitting on steps, on park benches, you know, things like that, leaning shots, you know, just really, you know, get them in a variety of poses, shoot at a variety of distances, you know, get tight, mid-level, and then full length. And, you know, give them a good selection to choose from. Pick the best shots, you know, from those different poses. You know, you want to deliver about 50 shots or so for them to look at. And you want them to be interesting and have some variety and so they can really play with that. Now, if one of the shots that you deliver, they really like the pose, they really like everything, and they go, do you have another version of this where I'm just smiling a little less? I think my smile's too big, for example. Then you can go back and give them a couple more options that you have. But you don't want to overwhelm them with, you know, hundreds of images. That's hard for people who aren't photographers to sort through. Get a variety of stuff. Get the wardrobe changes. Play with some different spots. Give them, you know, 50 shots or so that look really nice. And I'll tell you, they'll be happy. And you can always give them some more variations on the shots that they want. Do those things that I'm talking about, and you'll have a good experience because I know you're a good enough photographer to get the shots. We're just talking a little fine-tuning here. These little icings on the cakes, these little candles on the birthday cake will make a good experience for both you and your subject. Story number two, reinvent the wedding. I know a lot of you don't go over to the digital story site, thedigitalstory.com. I wish you did, but I understand. You're a podcast listener and, you know, this is your thing here. And I appreciate that. I do. But I do stuff over there. The show notes that I refer to, for example, are helpful. And if you have been over there and if you've noticed on the nav bar, there's weddings on the nav bar now. And I want to explain what that's about, because It's kind of interesting, actually. So I used to shoot weddings all the time for a long time. In fact, I built story photography pretty much on the back of weddings. And I like weddings. I'm one of those weird people who don't mind shooting weddings at all. And then about the time of the Beijing Olympics, where I was starting to get some of those assignments, I stopped doing weddings for a couple reasons. One, because, you know, generally I had to commit so far in advance. Good assignments are coming out of nowhere, and I didn't want to have conflicts there. And also, I had just been shooting weddings for a long time, and I just felt like I needed a break from them. So I did that. I took a break, and it was a good break. And then not too long ago, I had to shoot a wedding for my niece and start planning that and all that stuff. And it sort of got me back into weddings a little bit, thinking, wow, you know, what if I just stepped back and looked at wedding photography with fresh eyes now that I've had a break from it? Maybe not completely differently than I did it before, but really question everything. And with the goal of making it a better customer experience and making it a better experience for the photographer. A win-win situation. And the reason why I felt like I could do that is that so much had changed since I had stopped shooting weddings before. I mean, you know, for a long time I was shooting with film and then adding a little digital. And then, the last couple of years were all digital, but the workflow was clunky. And, you know, it was the early days of digital for sure. So I stepped back and I looked at the whole thing. And I said, you know, there's a lot of areas here I can improve, both in setting up the wedding and you know, booking it, and then also in the execution of it. And what I wanted to do was make lining up the wedding for the customer the easiest part of their wedding planning. In other words, my goal is to have, you know, when you look at flowers, you look at cake, you look at venue, you look at wardrobe, you look at, you know, the family stuff. You look at all the things that you have to do for a wedding. I wanted the photography to be the easiest part of all those things. Like the one thing that you knew was going to turn out okay, and it wasn't a big headache, and it didn't, you know, cost you an arm and a leg. It wasn't going to be overpriced. I'm making the bed one morning, and I'm just, you know, been thinking about all this. It's been churning around in my head now for a while. And the phrase came to me, just reinvent the wedding, just reinvent it. And I said, I like that. I mean, that's the same way Nimble Photography came to me, the Nimble Photographer, the digital story, you know, all my little brandy things, they all just kind of were lightning bolts. So when I get a lightning bolt, I usually pay attention to it. So the first thing I did is I went and I checked. I did a domain search for reinvent the wedding. And it was available, just like the Nimble Photographer was available and just like the digital story was available. So I go, okay, that's an omen. I'm doing this. that's my omen, right? If the domain is available, I'm doing it, right? Because, you know, that is God's way of speaking to me, believe it or not, through GoDaddy. So anyway, so I went ahead and locked up the domain and everything. And I already had a kind of a running list of areas I want to improve. And then I spent a couple weeks off and on while I was doing other stuff, building the site. So the site is now live, reinventthewedding.com. It's live now. And basically what's going on there is that if someone comes to the site thinking about wedding photography, I have just a few steps that they can just walk through. All the information is entered through easy to fill out forms that come directly to me. You know, I try not to ask too many questions, but gather enough information. All the pricing is just, you know, this is the pricing, boom, 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 it's right here. You know, so you know exactly how much it's going to cost. Travel, it's all spelled, everything's all spelled out. So literally, someone could come to the site at like 9 o'clock at night after dinner and look at the gallery that's there, look at the benefits from the way they do it. And if they decide it's a good fit, basically could have their wedding date secured like that night and just be done with it. Then, you know, then we'd go on and fill out the other details. They're gonna wanna have a phone call, obviously, and talk to me. That's always part of it. If they're not too far away, we can always meet. You know, we'll do all of that stuff. But the idea is they could go to bed that night going, you know what? I think I have a beat on the wedding photography, and then make it, you know, that easy the rest of the way. So that's what I'm doing. And that's what the site's about. I would love it if you went over to the site, took a look, and then if you have any feedback for me, send it. You know, send it. You could fill out one of the forms there on the site, or just send it to Derek@thedigitalstory.com. There's an email link at the bottom of all the pages. I have the Nimble Photographer link on the bottom of all the pages. You could use that. Whatever, however you want to do it. And send me your feedback. And then obviously, if you have a wedding coming up in 2016, a friend, a family, whatever, and you want the way that I shoot weddings, which I think is really nice and friendly and personal and good shots, then, you know, go ahead and find out if the date's open. That's, you know, what's going on. So that's what Reinvent the Wedding is. I want to make this better. I just want to make it better for everyone. I got to test out a lot of my theories at the wedding that I did for my niece. And interestingly enough, a lot of them worked out really well. A lot of my approaches. Some of them I was surprised about. They loved, for example, having the images go up during the wedding up to a website that they had access to. And so right away, all of their socials had shots from the wedding that happened that day. That, you know, so stuff like that was really neat. And, you know, there's a lot of things like that I figured out how to do based on the technology that's available right now. And I'm working out some more stuff. I'm working with my good friend Oliver over at Boinks Software. And we've got more great ideas and developing some software to make this even cooler. So lots of good stuff here. Now, so that's part one. Part two, I'm going to give you a preview of something else that's happening in 2016, which is the new workshop schedule. And I'm just about done with it. I hope to be able to announce it next week. I've got some new venues. The workshop season for 2016 just really looks exciting. Very, very thrilled about what I'm going to do. I'm going to have at least one workshop on this, maybe two, maybe more. Who knows what the need is. I'm going to do a Reinvent the Wedding workshop where I show whoever comes to the workshop how to do the whole thing from soup to nuts. Everything from the cool technology things during the wedding itself, shooting them, working with clients. What I'd really like to do, and I don't know if this is going to work out or not, but you know, this is my idea, is that if you come to the workshop and if you're like certified in this way of doing it, then I could refer to you. And so then as things come in through Reinvent the Wedding in areas that are on the East Coast, Midwest, you know, places that I would go to, but I would rather hand it off to you and have you shoot it and have you and know that, you know, you've been trained in how I want these weddings done, then I can do that. And then I could serve as a revenue stream for you. So I'm looking at that also. And so when you hear, I will talk about this when I talk about the workshops, but just as a heads up, I'm going to do workshops on this Reinvent the Wedding system. And then I think I'm going to have a certification as part of the workshop, which means then I could refer weddings to you. And I would love to do that. So that's what the whole Reinvent the Wedding thing's about. I'm actually pretty excited about it. And it's still in the fine-tuning process, but I'll tell you, I'm just about there. And I'm going to start booking for 2016. All right, let's move on to the screening room. Today's screening room selection is creating black and white landscape photos with Lightroom with Taz Talley. Taz is actually a very good instructor. And this is kind of a neat, it's a little bit of a specialized training here, but I like it. That's one of the reasons why I picked it. The idea of having a training specifically for creating black and white landscape photos, specifically with Lightroom. That's kind of neat. It's kind of neat. And Taz does a very nice job on this. This Taz Tally, T-A-Z-T-A-L-L-Y. So you can look him up on the lynda.com site and his training, creating black and white landscape photos with Lightroom. And you can also go to our landing page, which is lynda.com/thedigitalstory. And if you need to, sign up for your 7-day free trial so that you can watch the entire Taz Tally training. And there'll be free movies there, but if you watch those and you go, you know what, I want to do the whole thing, sign up for the free trial and then you can do that. And you can watch everything else for a week too. So today's screening room selection, creating black and white landscape photos with Lightroom with Taz Tally. All right, now we have a little virtual camera club news. I'm gonna start with Red River Paper. They are going to be exhibiting at Photo Plus International Conference. That's coming this October 22 through 24 at the Javits Center in New York City. And they're gonna be there in booth 1158. Now, I'm not gonna be there this year. I'll talk about that a bit more in a second, but they're gonna be there. And if you're planning on going to Photo Plus Expo, which is a great event, believe me, I'm not going because I don't want to go. It just didn't work out this year. But if you want to go, make sure you look up Red River Paper in booth 1158. And I have a link in the show notes that will get you a free Expo Hall pass. That's like a $70 value. So you can go to the link, get the Expo Hall pass, have that all buttoned down. Go to the show. It's a great show. Enjoy yourself. Stop by and say hi to Drew at Red River Paper. Tell him that you're from The Digital Story and that you just really appreciate them helping to keep this podcast on the air. And then also our friends over at SizzlePix. And as I mentioned last week, that the upgrade to the 5K ultra high definition SizzlePix is now the general release. This is the way they're doing all orders. So, and they're from 18 inches to 6 feet with this crazy resolution and realism. I mean, stuff that would look better than what you see on your mobile device, that kind of stuff. And this is something that's printed. It's not a backlit retina display. They have some major secret sauce going there. They really do. So, and they do have the challenge going, which means that if you really want to get the best output possible from a favorite image, and you've been looking at, you know, some of the other labs, and you're looking at SizzlePix, and you're going, I don't know which one. Go ahead, do the other lab and do a SizzlePix. If you don't like the SizzlePix better, they will just fully refund your money. They've never had that happen. They have never lost a head-to-head with the competition. But if yours is the first case, they'll refund the full price. The thing that, if you do this head-to-head, here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Here's the thing you better check. What's the refund policy on the other guy? Because I'm telling you, that's the one you're going to be sending back. So check their refund policy because, you know, once you get the SizzlePix and you hold it up to anything else, you're going to like it better. SizzlePix.com. They have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story, and they will go up against anyone that's printing on metal right now. It's like a ultra-high definition retina display that you can hang on the wall. Oh, what else we got going here? Hey, Safari West, right around the corner. Our workshop, October 23 through 25. See a similarity between those dates and the Photo Plus dates? Uh-huh. Yep, just saying. So Photo Plus is normally over Halloween. You can kind of imagine what happened to me there. That's all right. I would rather be at the fall workshop because it's really amazing. So we still have a couple open seats. If still not too late to join. If you don't want to go to New York for Photo Plus and you want to come and learn environmental portrait photography, landscape photography, and then take the best wildlife, African wildlife tour that you can take this side of Africa, then come see me instead. I'll treat you well, believe me. And I'll feed you. They don't do that at Photo Plus. Uh-huh. Anyway, so you can go to the workshops page and use the semi-info form, and I'll get your reservation form right away. Hey, if you're ordering through B&H or Amazon, come over to the digital story first. Click on the Amazon tile or the B&H tile. They're in the center column. That'll take you over the site. Doesn't make any difference where they take you on their site. It sets the cookie, so then you can search for what you want when you buy it. That helps support this podcast, something I very appreciate. I know you guys are doing it, and you're awesome. I have to tell you, you're absolutely awesome for doing that. It's, you know, it's your way of really contributing. I never want to make this a where anyone has to pay. And by you guys doing this sort of stuff, we can keep it that way. All right. Well, that is going to do it for me this week. I think I have worked up quite a sweat here in the studio. It's over 100 again today. Oh, my God. Well, it's going to break sooner or later. And when it does, then who knows? Maybe I won't talk as fast as I did this week. I know a lot of you want me to talk faster. You don't think I know that, but I know that. You know why? Because you tell me all the time when we're at trade shows and stuff. I know a lot of you listen to me at 1.5x on your podcast player. I know. I understand. It doesn't hurt my feelings. Maybe today you won't have to do that. Who knows? All right. Got some great stories for you next week. Guess what we're going to talk about next week? Yep, the iPhone 6S. Yep, we're going to talk about photography with the iPhone 6S and a bunch of other stuff. Come back and join me. Until then, have a fantastic week. Bye-bye now.